Last week, I talked a bit about times and seasons, and we're going to go on from there. And I'm expecting that today it's going to be a bit more hardcore. So to start you off thinking, just mull over in your minds, if you take the idea of time as being a line you go through, that's one common view. Another view which you hear about is the idea of the circle of life, isn't it? What's the just think about it for a minute or two, but what's the advantage of thinking about life in a linear way or time in a linear way, or, and time as being a circle or cyclic? There you go. That's a metaphysical question for you on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the circle one is, well, you're going to make the same mistake again.
Yeah. Or in new generations, they will make the same again. Yeah. Yeah. It depends how big your circle is, doesn't it? Yeah.
There will be seasons where
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about it? Can you just be a bit louder?
Sorry. Yeah. Seasonal celebrations, literal seasons, can help at a time like this when the world seems to be all over the place.
That's putting it mildly. Yeah.
The winter will come, the summer will come.
Yeah.
Seasons keep passing through.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of security.
The rhythm is helpful, yeah. One of the things they say, I did mention last week that there are several theories about why as we get older, time seems to go faster. And you sort of pay your money, takes your choice really with that, but life is too short to spend too much time thinking about it. Is that one of the things that affects our feelings about the passing of time is how much we're able to put into it. So if your time is fairly routine, if there aren't different things that are happening, then time seems to zip past. Whereas if there's a lot of activity going on, a lot of different stuff, then time seems to fill out more. Now, that's an interesting idea, isn't it? I've been thinking about that and thinking about the weeks when everything seems pretty routine, and the times when there are more different things happening. We may actually come back to thinking about that, but there are inbuilt rhythms, aren't there? And for a couple of reasons recently, I was thinking about this phrase, times and seasons. It occurs in the prayer book, and there are over a million references to it on Google. I think after about a million they stopped counting. But times and seasons is a phrase that you think of as being connected with the Bible. But even in the old versions, times and seasons only occurs as a phrase three times. And it was one of them that had particularly drawn my attention. And that was the verse at the start of Thessalonians for various reasons. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. And as you do, I looked up to see what the word times was, what the word seasons was, and you'll be familiar with both of the words, even if you don't use Greek. One of them is chronos. Times, the word we get chronometer from, of course, the idea of time going along. And the other is a word kairos, which in charismatic churches people talk about quite a lot. It's associated with thinking about revival and awakening, special times from God. And it's the idea of an event time, a special season, but it also has a spread of other meanings as well. And there's, I suppose it's reasonable for people to be thinking about that, because it's quite obvious from the small number of us who are here that it is an odd season, an odd time, an odd period in church life. And there is obviously, when you follow Twitter, all the positivists are out there saying, oh, it's wonderful, we're doing this, we're getting this many people back. But when you get below the surface, you talk to people and pretty much everybody's in the same position. We don't know how it's going to turn out. And then I pick up the eye yesterday, which has always got some disturbing thing to report on their front page. And this time it was about the predictions as to how long the pandemic will last. And they discovered that the government are thinking of an optimistic prediction, a pessimistic prediction, and a most likely prediction. And taken the whole of the front page to just put that up on the front page. And then the special report is that optimistically, everything could be cleared up at the end of 2021, which is unlikely. Or pessimistically, if vaccines don't work terribly well, it could carry on at least until 2026, which I didn't really want with my cornflakes yesterday morning. Or that it's likely to happen somewhere between the two. And you think, thank you very much for that restatement of the blindingly obvious. There are the idea that this season, this period, this era is going to come to an end is something which really does affect us. I don't know what things give you a sort of little hiccup along that way. Obviously, the figures of people who are ill and are dying, that's really where it hits you hard. But if you go from that really serious stuff to the ridiculous stuff, you suddenly notice that in France, unless you've got data on your booster, you can't do anything, you go anywhere. One of our targets was if we can't go anywhere else, we'd go under the tunnel and try and go to France as soon as we can. And then you check back and you find that in the UK, they don't actually record your booster, or at least they don't show it on the app. But then you wonder whether that's connected with the fact that they really wouldn't want to give that information and stir up a lot of interest when they're not providing boosters yet for people under 50. And then you wonder how that's going to pan out with all sorts of other things. So I don't know how your head goes when you're thinking of times and seasons. You may have enough to do to be able to ignore it all. But there are times and seasons that these brothers, and by the way, it actually said, I use the English Standard Version, which is the one that Steve, I think, has used occasionally when you've been speaking. It actually puts brothers there, and then in brackets, said could equally be brothers and sisters. But I wanted to keep the word seasons in, and that was the only way I could do it without going to the King James Version. So you've got times, you've got seasons. Now, there are times and seasons we don't need anybody to write to us about. There are also times and seasons that we can't know anything about. This was just before Jesus went back to heaven, said it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And he'd sort of set people up for this with the story of the bridesmaids. You remember the story of the 10 bridesmaids? 10 of them were ready and 10 of them weren't. And so the fact is there are some things that are closed to us. And last week, what we did, we talked and we concentrated on this idea of seasons from Galatians 6, 9 and 10, sort of fairly well-known passage. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And the neat thing about this is that the word kairos, the word for season, occurs twice in that passage in two different ways. I get excited about strange things, don't I? The word season is there, but the word opportunity is also the word season. And I sort of like that, the idea that we need to keep on keeping on. Okay? And that in life there are things that are wearisome, and that even doing good stuff can be wearisome. Just have a think for a moment. When do you find that you are most likely to feel, what does it say, weary of doing good? When are you most likely to feel weary? That may be a bit self-exposing, but if you can do it without saying things you don't want to say, it'd be interesting to get some thoughts about that. When do you most feel weary about doing good?
When you've done something good and the effects are not what you're expecting it to be.
You think, why bother when the effects aren't so good? Or at least what? Pardon? You don't see any results. Yeah. Yes, sorry.
When you feel overwhelmed and worn out.
I don't know whether anybody else finds this, but I find that I'm spending a lot more time on mood management than I ever have. And I find that even during the course of the day, if I watch my tiredness, I can feel negative about stupid things, and that when I feel rested, that negativeness disappears. Some of my colleagues from Cliff College had just finished, and they're all robed up yesterday in their Manchester robes, doctoral robes, to graduate. And there were four of them who were graduating yesterday, and the ceremony was online at the little place, the church in the Peak District where they hold this. And all the people from Manchester were there, and it was all going through. And I found myself getting down about the fact that the year that I'd graduated, there'd only been the one of me. And as Wendy said, I'd processed up the aisle in this big church, dressed like the bride, with the faculty standing and cheering and clapping as they do. But I wished I'd been there with the others. And suddenly I find, stupidly, my mood goes down. So that's about 11 o'clock last night when I'm fiddling around with Facebook, probably an indication that I shouldn't have been doing that. And this morning, I look at the same things again purposely and find them perfectly okay, not bothering me. So some of these things are just put down to tiredness, I guess, that affect us. But what else? So we've got the fact that we're overwhelmed, we're worn. There are no results. It doesn't have the effect we want. What else is there that causes us to grow weary? Anything? I think there's a whole thing of lack of appreciation. There's a whole thing of routine. I can remember all the time our kids were young, and as they became teenagers, there was a feeling of being hemmed in. I'm sure, Charlie, you think about this quite a lot. It is twice as bad moving from 3 to 4, of that I'm certain. It was even worse because we didn't have such big cars a generation back. But you just think, when am I going to get my life back? And then you get your life back, and they're whacking great caps on it. And you get overexcited if you get a phone call. Yeah? Wendy came to bed and she would not settle down because she'd had 2 texts from 2 different sons in one evening. Yeah, pardon? Yeah. At least you've got one daughter, Charlie, so that is something. You might actually get birthday cards into the future. But you know, there are things that, and we know that we should be enjoying each phase of life with our kids as they go on, because it's things that, that looking back on them have just sort of flipped past. So what you've got here then, going back to the text rather than concentrating too much on our immediate situations, you've got this idea that in the long term there comes an unpredictable period of harvest, right? You'd see no results, okay? You need to let things grow. My dad told a story of how when we got our first council house and I was 6 or 7, I can remember my dad excitedly digging up the garden, which was mainly bricks that had been left by the builders, or it seemed that way. And he planted a load of vegetables. He planted carrots here, then planted spring onions here and beetroots there. And having been brought up in the city, he got no experience of this. And about 6 weeks afterwards, he went to check because he couldn't see anything growing, and he dug them up to have a look. Then he could see some little things, so he covered it over again, and he had the most interesting set of vegetables that came up in totally randomly over the whole area. One spring onion, one carrot, one potato, all across the garden. And because he grew weary in well-doing and wanted to check what was happening. And of course he made it even worse by sowing another set on top of the stuff that he'd previously put in. And that's something that affects us as well. So we have these seasons of harvest, but in between times there are all these opportunities. There are these little events. We talked about some of these last week. And we grab hold of these events, or we're told to grab hold of these events, events to talk to people, events to do good. And as well as sharing stuff, it talks about the fact of carrying other people's burdens, of actually restoring people who are getting it wrong, as well as being among the opportunities that we get. So, just wanted to mention something else there that in passing, because there's a due season. Due time. I've used the NIV, so I haven't got the word season in there. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that he may lift you up in due time. There are times when what God is doing in us is hidden. There are times when the visions that he gives us seem to be going nowhere. But then there's a due time, there's a season as well. Okay, so just put that in your mind. That came to me this morning. Whether that was for me to think about or for you, I don't know. So we've talked about the fact that there are some things we know, there are some things we cannot know, there are some things that are hidden, some things where we're waiting for another season. Here, yet different angle on it, because Jesus says to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. You are hypocrites. You know, this is to the crowd, this isn't to the Pharisees, this was a general criticism. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? And there is a bit of a burden on churches and on all of us together as we seek to be church, to actually try and interpret what's going on, to understand what this time is. So there are things that we already know, there are things that we can't know, there are things that remain hidden, and there are things that we've got a responsibility to look into. And I think we probably, and other churches too, need to be praying that God will show us how we manage this time, how we understand it, how we lean forward into it. And so there we've got this present time, we've got this Kairos again. And I wanted to go into the Old Testament. Of course, there's a catch, isn't there, when you go into the Old Testament. New Testament Greek, Old Testament Hebrew. So it's not going to be the same word. Unless, of course, you take the fact that Jesus used the Bible translation when he was around. Okay, most of the time, he used a translation that was made 2 centuries before he was born, and had been made for Jews who lived in Egypt in particular, who didn't actually know Hebrew. It was called the Septuagint, Septuagint 70. The tradition around that is that they gave it to 70 scribes to translate, and they all came up with exactly the same. I don't think anybody takes that terribly seriously, but that's where you get the idea of the Septuagint from. And 90 times Jesus actually uses the text, and lots of other times he alludes to it. So the word actually does occur quite a lot in the Old Testament as well. But I wanted to mention something that has been a preoccupation for charismatic Christians for as long as I can remember. And that's this really intriguing little sentence in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. The context is this. The chronicler is writing down the history of how David's kingdom developed. And what he writes down is that when Saul died and David began to gather people, people turned to him partially, not everybody came. And it makes a list of each of the tribes and says how many people came. 32,000 from this tribe, and then 6,000 from here, 12,000 from there, about 3,000 from this other place. And you get this little sentence. The number from Issachar were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. There were 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. Now, that's the smallest number. Okay, there were 200 chiefs. But somewhere there has to be people who know what happens next. And it's been the case for a long time now that whenever I'm at a meeting with other leaders, particularly people I haven't seen for a while, one of the questions that comes up are, do you know anybody at the moment who's got any sense of what God is doing in the country? Do you get any feeling about what's going on? And do you know, by and large, people say no. There isn't a sense of God doing something. There isn't. There are some people who always think the revival is imminent, that God's doing something. There are always another set of people who think the judgment is imminent. And I fear that a lot of that is down to personality rather than anything else. And personality affects the way we read scripture too. But there are other times when there's a buzz that you're looking for, that people are beginning to get some sense of what's going on. And I think that the reason I've landed with this is that I would like to encourage you, to encourage me, to be able to pray and to pray a prayer of lament. You remember Carol talked a bit about lament. The lament that goes, Lord, this is a difficult situation. It's out there in the general culture. It's difficult. But in church life, this is really difficult as well. We don't know how to handle this. Lord, show us what the season is. Show us what the signs of the times are. Show us how it's going to end. And the takeaway, I suppose, is that that's a legitimate prayer for us. You remember the story of Samuel starts off with the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. I think it's an amazing story, a story of the boy who heard the word of God when nobody else could. And it says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. And I feel as though that's a bit like it is at the moment. That I was reading yesterday back at Twitter again, and somebody was on there, a leader of a network, was saying, wherever I go, church leaders are saying that they feel tired and worn out. Well, it's not just church leaders that feel that way. NHS workers, of course, do. School teachers do. Parents do. Everybody seems to feel tired and worn out. So he comes up with this piece of encouragement. We're probably doing it all wrong. To which I thought, right, move on. That is not helpful. That's not what we need to hear at the moment. Somehow, we need to be finding a place of faith and hearing the word from God. Now, actually, of course, the word that Samuel got from God as a little kid and had to go and tell somebody who was probably the age of his granddad or older was pretty negative. But there are good words. There are things that God has got for us. And somehow we need to position ourselves to hear it. And we position ourselves by prayer. Okay, going on. So, takeaway, how do we bundle this together? Here we are. John the Baptist has come. The time when the season of all seasons was going to change. The time when Jesus was about to burst on the scene. The time between Christmas and Easter, if you like. It was all there. And it says in Luke 3, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. Now, the New English Bible translates the people were waiting expectantly as the people were standing on the tips of their toes, waiting. Okay? People were standing on the tips of their toes. And there is a problem with the kind of Christianity that looks for what God is going to do next, in that it gets very tiring standing on the tips of your toes. I remember a decade back talking to a guy, surname, can't remember his Christian name, was Matt. And he'd been brought up in a Pentecostal denomination and he'd been through all sorts of excitements and encouragements. And he said to me, he said, but in the end, I got to the point where I couldn't cope with standing on tiptoe any longer. I just needed to be able to walk away. And at last count, he's a prior in a new monastic order and has found a way of pursuing Christianity for him, his discipline with God, which doesn't concentrate on what's coming next, on what's going to be different. It concentrates on this cycle thing, this circle of just going through. And somehow there's got to be a way of pulling together with Galatians 6, you know, keeping on doing the good thing, but looking to see when God's going to break through. Because if church carries on like this, if Christian witness carries on like this, people are not going to get to hear the good news about Jesus. And I suspect that even with all the online digital successes, it's not going to happen as well. And actually, the problem did carry on. Because the news about Jesus spread through Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all the things that were happening. And calling two of them, John the Baptist sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Poor old John, he was in prison by this time. And it was not turning out like the way he would have expected. Because John was part of the movement that expected a complete overthrow of what was happening around, to complete overthrow of the Romans, a complete change in the religious base, a complete change in those who had got something of a a formal faith that did, but that didn't result in internal righteousness. And that's the second problem. So the first is the problem of expectation. The second problem is the problem of ambiguity, of things not quite working out in the way we expect or as fast as we expect. The issue of, I don't know what things that Roy was thinking about, but I think about those times when you pray for somebody and the worst times are when they appear to get better initially and then they don't. Or you pray about a situation with a young person and it looks as though they're turning to God and then the next thing you hear is not so good. Where we pray for work situations that seem to get better and then they don't. Is this really a time of fruitfulness or not? So, next week we actually note the Festival of Christ the King, like we did last year, and we're sort of heading up the Advent series then, and I want to talk about this, about the situation that exists where good things are happening but not as much as we expected. And the theme that we're going to be concentrating on is the time in between. Marion's going to talk from Genesis 3. John is going to speak to us from somewhere in Isaiah 9. Yeah, from darkness to light. Rosie is going to talk about the idea of unrighteousness to righteousness and how we seem to be stuck on the in the times in between. And we're going to follow that through during Advent. We're going to talk about what happened when Jesus came, and we're going to take seriously what hasn't happened since Jesus came. Okay? The fact that there is a gap, we're going to look at the time between, which allows us to focus on the fact that Christ will come again as well. So I want to start with the back end of that next week to talk about the fact that there is change in the future as well as what has happened. And hopefully to do it in a way which will stir faith, because who knows what God will do? And there are so many times in history, I'm told, where things seemed really quite difficult and then God did something that was remarkable. Let's pray. And if you can, do join us tonight when we get together to pray. We pray for just about an hour. It whips through fairly quickly. We'll spend 20 minutes in worship. We spend 20 minutes about praying outward in terms of outward themes, and 20 minutes just concentrating on church agenda as well. Father, we would like to be like the people from Issachar who knew what the seasons were and knew what would happen. We think that it's perhaps a long shot that we would be like that. But then, Father, if you're not going to make us that kind of person, we pray that you will help us connect with people who have got a genuine, authentic insight into what your purposes are and how you're going to change things. Lord, we are encouraged in you. We know that you do not disappoint. But Lord, we welcome more encouragement. We welcome the possibility that you could stir us, that you could increase our faith and expectation as we move forward. Lord, we pray that you will hear our prayer for the glory of your Son. Amen. Amen. Okay. That's it, guys. Nice to see a few more people.